Welcome to Royal Grace Chapel, the Empowerment Center, where faith comes alive through inspiring messages and teachings. At Royal Grace Chapel, our mission is to empower you to connect with God in worship, relationship with other believers, and enable you to fulfill your purpose for global impact. We believe in the power of transformation through the Word of God, and that's exactly what you'll experience as you journey with us through our plethora of messages. Get ready to be equipped, uplifted, and empowered on your path of faith. Be transformed as you listen to today's empowering message.
Now, I'm continuing on the subject I started before ICS, which is on loyalty. Loyalty. And we must understand what it means to be loyal. Now, when we talk about loyalty and disloyalty, I want us to know that God's vision for his church is that the church will be a mega church. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2 says, "And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills. And all nations shall flow unto it." All nations shall flow unto it. Are you seeing what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Oh, are you sure you are still glad?
Yes, sir.
Are you seeing what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
And shall be above, and all nations shall flow into it. Verse 3. Look at it. Verse 3. And many people, how many people?
Many people.
Few people.
Yes.
Is that what he said?
Yes.
Are you sure you are still glad?
Yes,
are you sure you are still glad? So, and what many people shall go and say, "Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his path. For out of Zion," can we read that part again? One, two, go. "For shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord." So you will see. Yeah, thank you. I said, God is making people glad. That's what I want. If people are angry that you have shouted, tell them, God is making me glad. Hallelujah. God likes shouts of joy. Now, so you will see that God's vision for his church is that in the last days, he said, many will go into the house of the Lord. He said, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be exalted. So it's not supposed to be a small church. We are called to be a mega church. Amen.
Amen.
So a mega church is a large church. A mega church is a big church. A mega church is a glorious church. You see, in a mega church, everybody has their needs met because different category of blessed people are in a mega church. Now, the devil knows that God's vision for his last days church is that they will be exalted above the mountains and exalted above the hills. So God's vision is clear. Now, you should know that the devil's vision is always against God's vision. If God said that the house of the Lord shall be exalted above the mountains, that means the devil's vision will be to keep it under in the valley. If the vision of God is that many people will go to Jerusalem, then the Bible then says that means that the opposite will be few. So fewness is not the will of God for any church. Because you see, many means many people have been blessed. Many lives have been touched. Many lives have been transformed. Many people have been touched by the power of God. And it shows that many are being saved. Tell your neighbor, God's vision is many. Now, what is it that the devil uses to keep the end time prophecy of the mega church from coming to pass? The key he uses, one of the things he uses to wage war against churches and against anything that wants to be great, is the key of disloyalty. Disloyalty. Disloyalty means to be unfaithful. Loyalty means to be faithful. Disloyalty means to be undependable. Loyalty means to be dependable. Disloyalty means to be untrustworthy. Loyalty means to be trustworthy. Another word we've been using in our class is true blue. If you go and check the dictionary for the word true blue, it means to be loyal. True blue means what you see is what you get. If I say I am for you, I am for you. If I say I'm not for you, I am not for you. True blue means I am showing you my true color all the time. I'm not hiding anything from you. Ask your neighbor, are you a true blue? Or this is a false blue? No, are you afraid to ask your neighbor? Say, ask your neighbor, are you a true blue? Or this is a false blue? So the devil uses disloyalty to destroy a thing. Someone was sharing it with me yesterday. A school. That school, they decided to sack the assistant, maybe head teacher or the vice principal of the school. And because the school felt they were doing restructuring. Now, when the news of the sack got to her, that she's been relieved of her duty in the school, it was during holiday period. She got an employment in a new school. Or I think she started a new school or something, got an employment in a school, either of the way. Then she sent a message to all the, because she's the one that has the database of the school. So she sent a message to all the parents of the old school where she left, that this school is closing down. They have problem with government or something like that. So they are closing down. Even me, I have left the place. And I'm currently now in this new school. So we are running discounts in this new school for all the children that will come from that old school. Say, hey. Yeah, what a shock. Oh, do your hand like I say, what a shock. If your neighbor is not being shocked, shock your neighbor. I say, what a shock. Do your hand in a way that it will touch your neighbor. I say, what a shock, what a shock, what a shock. Oh, who is shocking Mommy P for me? She's not being shocked. Shock her for me. What a shock. Yeah, what a shock. Amen. So, the day the school resumed, the owner of the school came to school. And as she was there to receive her children, the other old school where the woman lived, guess how many children turned up? A school of over 15 years of old. Only one child turned up. Only one. One. What a shock. The person telling the story that the woman has not recovered till date. The woman has not recovered till date. Only one child turned up. Disloyalty is real. Disloyalty is real. Another pastor had, this church was over 3,000 members. At over 3,000 members. How many members? 3,000. And finally, the pastor felt he has worked hard enough. He and the wife and the children should go to America. Say, I'll be there. When I mention a country that you have not been before, when you hear it, say, I'll be there. So, he decided to go to America. To go and for vacation for 1 month. 1 month. How many months?
1 month.
After about 1 month of vacation, this church of over 3,000 members, this pastor came back. The day he came back to church, on a Saturday when he landed, the assistant pastor went to go meet him. Daddy, ish. Watch out for all those old daddy you but have an undaddied spirit. Daddy, welcome back. That one, welcome. And say, now, the Lord has spoken to me. I said, hey. So daddy said, what has the Lord said? The Lord has said I should leave this church now. Oh. I said, what a shock. My son will say, what a suck. What a suck. What a suck. Oh, so the pastor said, but I just came. I've not even resumed to church on Sunday. You are saying the Lord has spoken to you. How come? The Lord did not speak to me. Say, Daddy, the Lord has spoken to me. Say, the Lord has spoken. And he said, so I said, okay, if the Lord has spoken to you, why don't you let me even get to church tomorrow so that you'll do an official handover? You have been there. He said, no, the Lord said,
now.
Say, now. He said, the Lord said, I should leave now. Hey. Now, you should know that. He said, when people want to do something wrong, they like to use the Lord. But if you are a wise person, you should know that God does not contradict himself. Because the Bible says God is not an author of confusion. But he kept saying the Lord. So finally the pastor said, okay, since you have made up your mind, the pastor allowed him. So the pastor got to church on Sunday. Saturday they were rehearsing, people were rehearsing. Oh, Charlie, I will need you guys. Where is the keyboardist here and the drummer? No, where are the people? Where are the drummer and the keyboardist? Let them come. Okay. So they were still 247. I will praise you, Jah. Oh, this was the song they wanted to sing tomorrow. Choir mistress were there. Everybody, oh, I will praise you, Jah.
247.
I said, no. Then the choir master was saying, no, hey, sister Shaka Zulu. No, it's not like that. No, cause, so the 2, 4. Oh, the choir rehearsal was beautiful everywhere.
Hey.
2, 4, 7. I will praise you, Jehovah. Oh, I will praise you, Baba. Hey, why is it that all of you are not happy anymore? Are you the one I'm talking about?
I will praise you, Jehovah. 2, 4, 7. I will praise you, Baba. 2, 4, 7.
I will praise you, Jehovah.
2, 4, 7. I will praise you, Baba. I will praise you, Jehovah.
So the pastor came and they came and they were happy.
Hey.
People, the choristers were rehearsing. Ushers were even down. They were cleaning. 2, 4. Every day they were cleaning. So Sunday morning, I said Sunday morning, the pastor came to church. What a suck. Do you know what has happened? It's a true story. I'm telling you, true story. Number one, the person doing was nowhere to be found. The person doing was nowhere to be found. I said, what a sucky. Then the person, see, the person doing. Oh, do it. So the person doing this yesterday,
hey.
He too was nowhere to be found.
Hey.
I said, hey.
Hey.
Play your own, roll. He too, nowhere to be found.
My God,
do your own.
Ah, oh yeah, give money.
So all the people were doing,
give money.
If your neighbor, with all this, your neighbor is still not smiling. Say to your neighbor, are you sure you are not the one they are talking
about? Hey!
What a sucky!
What a sucky!
What? Nowhere to be found. The ushers who were also doing. Nowhere to be found.
Hey.
Do you know how many people out of 3,000 plus church members Do you know how many came to church that day? The pastor and his wife and the children. Everybody, with the teenagers and everybody, 18.
Hey!
18. 18. I'm telling you. You see, the devil used that assistant pastor to, he thought he was fighting the pastor, but he was actually fighting the prophecy of Isaiah 2:2. Disloyal people are just fighting Isaiah 2:2. The mountain of the Lord's house shall be answered. So when the pastor said, he was so shocked and wounded that as these people were doing, they were actually not dependable. He thought they were there for life. Daddy, daddy, you are welcome back from America. Where's my chocolate? Where's my chocomilo? Where also, all of them, at the moment they assist, just 1 month, the assistant pastor turned the heart of all those people. True story. So in this new church, day one, almost 3,000 members were there. Watch them. Then 6 months later, I think the man had diabetes, so he was still fasting and something like that. Then it triggered in his body. So 6 months later, he was hospitalized. This assistant pastor who broke the other church, he was hospitalized. And whilst in the hospital, he entered into a coma. And whilst he entered into a coma, he quickly said, the wife ran to the pastor that the devil has used them to destroy the church he was leading, to come and please pray for him. Because they thought that one has done something. So that pastor came. Said when he saw him, he realized that the devil has just used this man to destroy the work of God. He said he prayed, but he never recovered from that coma. He died 6 months. But do you know the truth is that the over 2,000 people that left with him are not able to come back to their old church out of shame, because they realize that they should have stayed. You see, disloyalty is one weapon the devil just uses. The aim is that nobody wins. Because now, this church is 18. And do you know one thing? They have spread bad news in the society that now people now actually believe the person that can tell them that what he did was wrong, is dead. So people believe what has been said about that church. If even in this area, that we have many people out there, do you know what it means for over 3,000 people to leave a church in one day? So only God knows what the guy said that turned their heart against their father. That is why, if we joke with disloyalty, there will not, you will come next Sunday, there will not be a church anymore. It's, don't ever joke with it. In your business, in your marriage, anything, never joke with disloyalty. Now, anybody can be disloyal. That is why I've been teaching on stages of disloyalty. And I'm going to teach on one major stage today. Disloyalty does not happen overnight, just as most sickness does not happen overnight. Most sickness happens gradually. You see that it can start small. That is why we should never allow sickness. It starts with a small misbehavior. It starts with small symptoms. If you understand it, you'll be able to detect it when the devil wants to use you, or he wants to use someone around you to destroy the church. Because Isaiah 2:2 is what the devil is fighting. When I went to our church site, as I see the building rising, you know, there's a building beside us before that used to cover us with a roof and everything. But when we are, by the way, we are doing the second floor decking by the grace of God now. Amen. I'm going to show you the picture. And our prayer is that by the grace of God, next year we won't be here. By all things being equal. Yeah. And you shall be there when we are dedicating it. When we look around, you will not be found missing. Oh yes. Oh, I said oh yes. When I say oh yes, you say oh yes. Now, so what are the stages of disloyalty? How does it evolve? The first stage is independent spirit. There are seven stages before someone becomes full disloyal. Independent spirit. Now, when you see all these stages, it's like a sickness that is not yet full blown. So it can still be arrested. When you see yourself doing it, know that this is what is happening. The devil wants me to go on this journey or road of disloyalty. Independent spirit. What is independent spirit? Independent spirit is the spirit that makes you to say that even though I'm part of this organization, I will do what I want to do. How I want to do it. The way I want to do it. When I want to do it. Regardless of whatever I'm told. So independent spirit makes you that you are part of the team, but you are not following the vision of the team. Now, where am I? Oh, I told you that today, this guy, where are they? Where is my... Do they have independent spirit? I said, don't go. Where is the kid? For any music to be entertaining, there needs to be a cohesion. They have to synchronize. The moment one of them says, the song that the leader is singing, I don't like it, so I will play my own beat. You will see that all of a sudden, the love in the place, the joy that music is producing, stops. So let's watch again. Okay. Talking drummer, get. I want to show you what independence means. It looks so soft to when you are doing it. But look at what happens to a church when even one person.
247. I will praise you, Jehovah.
Now listen. What you don't know is that the moment I raise this song, I have casted a vision that this is the way we are going. This is the tempo. So that vision means that for all of you, you must follow the tempo of that vision, which is the song I'm singing. What they are playing now, if my vision is holy, do you see they have stopped? Now, be playing 247 while I'm singing holy. Watch. Holy. Holy. Are you Lord God? Oh my, am I still not singing? Am I not singing? Are they still not playing? But do you realize what is happening? There is an independent person among us. One way or the other, they are still, the church is still there. You are doing your own and I'm doing my own. So it becomes a place where the Spirit of God can no longer move anymore. Because this is not a song that can cause the Spirit of God to move. For the Spirit of God to move, their tempo and whatever they are doing must be in alignment with what I am doing. So independent spirit, see, what it does is that it just comes to weaken the church so that the power of God does not flow in the place. Yeah, that's what it does. That's what it does. Because holy are you, Lord God Almighty. Worthy, worthy, oh, worthy, oh, worthy, oh, worthy, oh, worthy, oh, oh, worthy, 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 oh. Hey. But check, look at melody now.
247. I will praise you, my Lord. 247.
I go bear my body. Now, is there no melody now? That's what it does. Now, if the drummer himself decided that he's going to be independent of what we are doing,
hey.
So I want you to play another music while you continue with the 247 beat. So watch, play your own. You continue. Decide to be very independent. Decide to be very independent.
I will be.
The guy does not know how to be independent. Okay, play worship, or play reggae. Don't listen to them. Block your ear. Block your ear. Block your ear. So these two people will be doing their own, but you listen to me.
Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power. For thou art created, all things are for thy pleasure. They are well created.
Second effect of independent spirit is that it ushers the spirit of confusion into an organization.
Yes.
Independent spirit is the gateway of confusion in any organization. You are wondering why your business is not growing. Because when you say come by 9 o'clock, they want to come by 10 o'clock. It can't grow. Can two work together except they agree? It's that same thing of not just coming at the time we say, oh, we come. The devil will use it to begin to weaken the organization. That is why you see that most big organizations, they don't joke with clocking in. Because they know that as simple as clocking in may sound, it is not the thing that generates money. It is something that if we allow it, it will eventually affect our revenue. Is somebody with me? So you are wondering why is things going the way? Go and check your business and check whether there is an independent spirit there. You can't say we'll come at the same time everybody will come. It's wrong. What is the cause of cancer in the body? Cancer is caused by a rogue cell that is independent of others. Go and find out what cancer is. So when the system digests food and things like that and is trying to give every part its own, a cancerous cell says, no, me, I want more. So a cancerous cell is not cooperating with the direction that the rest of the system is following. So cancer simply means that there's a rogue cell that wants to do what it wants to do, when it wants to do it, how it wants to do it. That's why sometimes when they detect cancer, they say, cut it off. Because you see, that simple action that this cell is just doing what it wants. Give me more vitamin. Give me more nutrient. It's taking everything. It's not going to allow it go around. That singular action will then begin to make the person become sick. Then you see that part now becomes spoiled. Cancer will never be your portion. Oh, yes. I tell you. Independent spirit. Never allow it. That's the first stage. The next stage, which is the final stage for today, is offense. Matthew 18, verse 7. Woe unto the world because of offenses. Matthew 18, verse 7. For it must need be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom offense cometh. Hey, listen. Why did God curse the world? He said, woe unto the world, the entire world. He said, because of offense. Offense is one thing that the devil uses. Sometimes you may never fornicate in your life. You may never even be unfaithful to your husband. You may escape the demon of thievery. You may even escape that of lying. But you see, there is nobody that can escape offense. The Bible says that surely offense will come. Every human being will be offended one way or the other. That's why I said that woe unto the world. Why? Because if you don't know how to undo offense in your life, and you trivialize offense, you will become a thing of the past. Offense turns people around. Now let's go back to that Matthew 18:7. Said, woe unto the world because of offense. Now, the Greek word for offense is the word scandalon. S-K-A-N-D-A-L-O-N. Scandalon. Which we have the English word scandal. Scandalon. Say with me, scandalon. And if you check in that Greek word, scandalon means a trap stick. That's your trap, rat trap. That's scandalon. That's rat trap. That's what they use for scandalon, that trap. You know, normally the trap looks attractive. But when the rat passes it, bam! That's scandal. That's offense. That's the Greek word for offense. A rat trap. Another word for another meaning of scandalon is a stumbling block. So you, that is on your path. That when you are not careful, if you stumble on it, you can injure your leg or you fall. Offense is a trap. You must know how to escape that trap. Offense is a stumbling block. So whenever you are offended, hey, remember that this is scandalon. If you don't handle it well, it will entrap you. Whenever you are offended, remember that offense is a snare, is a stumbling block. You that you have been working well all along, doing something nice all along. If the day you become offended, if you are not careful, that singular offense will then make you become someone that has fallen. Offense. I wrote it, I said, it is a demonic strategy to make you fall. What is offense? A demonic strategy to make you fall. That is offense. What is offense? It's something that will come to you to make you stumble and desert a place. Offense with something that wants to make you stumble like the pa, 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 pa. And before you know it, you have deserted a place. Some years ago, some months ago, or some time ago, a guy came to our church. He bought me a brand new suit. It's no longer here. He was one of the people I was training when we started. Oh, you used to call me daddy or something. So one day his brother had an accident. So they had to even use my car to take him to hospital. So when he came back to church on Sunday, I was just using an example. I've forgotten what I really said about season of challenges. And I said, hey, you said the way your brother had an accident now? Do you realize that things can easily change? I don't know what I said. He became offended. Just I was preaching when I just used an example. And of course, that trap, when it holds you, the next thing, if you are not wise, it wants to uproot you. So he left the church. About 7 years later, when they came, he said, you know, he bought me a brand new suit. He said, it's too late because all his friends now have now grown. It's like, even the church he's attending, the pastor cursed him recently. Cost him that could need that fool, whatever the pastor cost, and he's praying that that cost will not come to pass. I think he wanted me to pray for him or something like that. But as I looked at him, he had a young boy, he's not up to 40, full of white hairs. I realized that offense is a major thing. Let me show you something about offense. Offense is a demonic strategy to remove you from your spiritual covering. Offense is a demonic strategy to remove you from what? Your spiritual what? Covering. Yeah. Hosea 12:13 says, by a prophet, Israel was brought out of Egypt, and by a prophet was preserved. You see, if you are going to leave a church, most people don't leave a church by because they are not giving tithe or offering. Most people don't leave a church because they are not paying, they are not singing well. Oftentimes, what causes people to be uprooted from their spiritual covering is offense. And I will show you what happens. Can you also help me? Where's my umbrella? Let me show you something about offense. You stand here, since you are the one that brought it. Open it. The Bible says, I will give you pastors after my own heart. You see, pastors, Bible, in Ephesians, Bible says that when he descended, he also ascended, and he gave gift unto men. He gave gift unto men. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some teachers, some evangelists, some pastors. Bottom line, they are God's gift to you. Your pastor is God's gift to you. Oh, yes. Every man of God that God gives to you is a God. He said he gave gifts unto men. Now, open the umbrella. There is something called spiritual covering. What your spiritual father brings to bear in your life is a covering. That's the greatest gift. Is a covering. Now, I want you to see. Can I get water? Yes, John, come. This is a pastor. This is a church member. Father, it will not be his portion in Jesus' name. We reject evil from his life. Now, when this guy was in the world before he became born again, the difference between this time and when you become born again is that when you are in the world, there is no spiritual covering over your life. Nobody's praying for you. Nobody's giving you counsel. Nobody's advising you. Nobody, you are on your own. Yes, you have other people, but the only one thing missing in the life of someone that is not born again is a spiritual covering. So what then happens is that if the devil wants to touch him whilst he's in the world, all right, it's easier for the devil to touch him. I hope this is not your only clothes today. So, you see, he can touch him, can do anything he wants to do. Because you see, there is no intercessor in his life. So it's a direct thing. But the day he becomes born again, he hears the word of God, becomes born again. What has changed is now this. There's a spiritual covering over his life. When the devil wants to touch him, he has to touch the covering first. This is why you saw that the prodigal son, when he said, I will leave my father, give me everything I have, I've had enough, I will go. You realize that what changed in the life of the prodigal son was just the absence of his father figure in his life. A spiritual covering. That is the only thing that changed in his life. He had, even when he left, he had more money. Then he had new friends. Because Bible said that he went to a far country and spent his life with unrighteous living. So he had new friends. But you see, you may have many friends, but you can only have one father. They are not your spiritual cover. You see. Now, the devil can throw fornication at him. Stealing. All those things are optional. A lot of sins in the Bible are optional. Virtually all the sins are optional. The only thing that the Bible said that you cannot but be tempted by it is offense. Whether you are a pastor or not a pastor, no matter who you are, there is one temptation that will come to everyone in your walk with God. And the name of that temptation is what? Offense. You cannot escape it. Nobody can escape it. So after he has tried everything, then he will bring the temptation of offense. Bah! Remember, he said, offense is scandalon. Right?
Yes, sir.
It's to make you fall. It's a trap. If you see it, now he has set that trap, then he will begin to say, so I want somebody, yeah, winner, come. Be his wife for now. Just for now. You see, when he was under the covering, even the wife, wow, what a beautiful wife. Come on. Wow. The daddy is here. So from today, I know that the daddy will be watching you very well. The daddy will be watching you very well. I want somebody that is, yes, come, my dear, come. They even have a baby. Yes, having a family. Where is your khaki? Give me a khaki. Wow, see their baby wearing the same thing with the daddy. Wow, what a sock. Cover them where? Cover them, Pastor, cover them. See, he has even gotten a car. Wow. This is a family under a covering. But finally, because offense, Bible says, woe unto the world because of offense. Nobody can escape it. It will come. That's why you must be an expert in handling offense well. Most people today, they are falling away just because of offense. They didn't know, they did not know that it is one of the master strategies. Offense. You know, people often think that fornication and those things. No. Offense. Chai. So now, the devil wants to remove him under this covering. So he become offended. So, The day it becomes offense, remember that offense, one of the things that the final goal of offense is to take you back to where you are coming from. Take you away from the covering. That's the goal of offense. And don't think, always what? The goal of offense is, I've tried everything to remove you. Now, if you can respond to offense. So you just see that after now, he just has to move away from you. So now, the pastor is still there, but he has moved. Stand there. Now, listen. The day he moves, nothing will change. Nothing changes. When the prodigal son left his father, nothing changed. Nothing changed. Nothing changed. But you see, the devil has him where he can attack him now. This is the position. So all of a sudden, sometime, like that guy I told you, it took about 7 years for him to come back to me. He realized the devil took him out of his place. It took about 7 years. Because as for the devil, he will not attack you in a way that you can easily run back. He will attack you in a way that he has isolated you. That's why you see that when people are offended, you know, one guy, I saw him on Facebook recently, he even went to go and burn, I don't know, he said because he has been applying for a job and nobody, some of you saw it. He said, some of you, you saw the video, right? He said he has been getting a job. How can he be doing interview with people that he has left school with, that did not even go to school? So he said, this is my NYSC. I said, Jesus. Maybe he's going to be a governor one day. But he didn't know. Then that thing will not be used against him. Because he was offended that he is not getting a job. So he carried his NYSC in front of camera. Burn it. His school certificate. Burn everything. I'm burning it now. I said, he burnt every original copy. Original copy. Everything, he burnt it. And he has one foolish friend. That if you check, if those of you watch that video, say, you mean say you won't burn him? Say, I'll go burn him. Ha, no burn him now. The guy was the one videoing him. And I told my children, I said, see, watch out for those who are fanning you when you are doing something wrong. If the devil wants to kill people, that is why he said that the prodigal son was surrounded with people. Ah, you won't burn him? Ha, go and check the video, I can show you. He said, he won't burn him? Am I not saying something that is, did you see it? He won't burn him, no burn him now. Ah, then when the guy set it on fire, he didn't burn him. And the guy will not, he's burning his future and the guy was still recording it. May God deliver you from friends that will orchestrate and fan your downfall in the name of Jesus. Oh yes. The day Absalom decided to sleep with his own father's wife, the people were there, they were even teaching him how to sleep. One of them said, no, sleep at the top of the house so that disgrace your father openly so that everybody can see it. One of the people was the one that advised him like that. Disgrace him openly. So Scandalon, now, he has left. He has left. Now, I want some guys, come. So now, you see, now that the devil has him, I want you to take away everything he has, including his shirt, his belt. See, the devil now. See, demons have come. Pull him down! I said, pull him down! Pull him down! Oh, you don't know how to pull people. So pull him down! You see, what is happening now can be so bad that he may just think it's Nigeria economy. He will think it's Buhari or everything. Remove his socks and everything. Yes, remove his shoe. Take his foot. See, now, the reason he will blame economic hardship, blame others. Do you know what is absent? In the realm of the spirit, all these things has been there, but they did not succeed because of the covering. But now, look at, they are taking everything. Everything. Take it and go away. I dash you. Go away. Go away. They are even searching his pockets. Now, you see, even the thing now, the children too is coming on them, small, small. It's coming. See? It's coming. Then they will say that, it's Ogunaye. It's Ogunaye. It's the devil. See, God gives you prophet after his own heart so that you can be delivered from demonic harassments. Are you with me? Where is your spiritual covering? Who is covering your life? Who is praying for you? Our friends will uproot you from it. See, now, things were beautiful for him. The prodigal son, the Bible said that, now it became so bad. Jews, till today, don't even eat pork. It became so bad that After the absence of his father, he was working at a pig farm, and the only food available for him was pig meats. Pig meats. This is what the devil wants. That is why he's always sending offense to remove you. To remove you. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. If you have never gone through this route, you will go through it one day. I would have been separated from my spiritual father if I was not wise. One day, my wife and I were in a certain church, and they had a camp at somewhere at Osun State, and they told all of us that we are living together in the morning. And they said, no, me, I will come and join you. Say, if you don't live with us, it independent spirit was worrying me then. Say, if you don't live with us, don't come to the camp. I said, waiting man, no see before. I go come. So I went to go and do all that I wanted to do. In the afternoon, I carried my wife. We traveled to Osun State. We got there around maybe 9 o'clock. When we got to that camp, immediately my Golf 3 was driving into the place. The pastor told, it was around 9. The pastor told the person, the leader of the camp, said, go and stop John. Tell him to go back to Lagos with a pregnant wife. So they came and stopped me and said, you are not entering this camp. Go back. I said, why? Why? Okay, even if I don't want to join the people, let me even book a room in this place. He said, there are many places you can go and book your room, but not in this place. Go back. I thought it was a joke. I begged. I prostrated. My wife, I even used the cunningness of my wife's pregnancy. See, my wife is pregnant. They said, go back. And honestly speaking, those days there were no ATMs, so I didn't have enough cash with me. As I went, I got the only hotel I could use that night was a rat and cockroach infested hotel. Telling you a true life story. So as we checked into the hotel, does not even have a bathroom. It's the hotel that you see, right? I think it's for all those who want to do one chance, or, you know, who just want to have a quickie one, sleep with one person and go. They didn't make it for people who want to sleep. As I checked my wife, we were come and see, even to even touch the pillow, we could not sleep. That night, you should guess what was happening to me. Ah! With my pregnant wife, somebody did this to me. I said, ah, till 6 a.m. And as I'm telling her, rats were passing, cockroaches were moving around the place. I said to myself, from today, you see, that's now the goal. I'm leaving this church. From today, I'm leaving this church. Then I called my spiritual father. I reported him. See, this is what has happened. They locked me out. And the person said, you see, when you are offended, don't look at the reaction. Focus on your action. The reaction may not be the right reaction, but what if genuinely you have not done what you have done? Or you didn't do what you have done? Which one is right? Done what you have done, did what you have done, do what you have done. Which one is right? Oh, you people, are you sure you pass English? Which one is right? Did what you have done? Done what you did? Done what you have done? It's done what you have didn't. He said, that's the thing. So he said, number one, if you want to handle offense well, he came and slapped me. But what if you did not steal what he stole? He came and he jumped on my head. What if you have also said sorry when you match him in the first place? Don't focus on the reaction. Because the reaction may not be total right, but focus on how can I correct my action. That's why when you see people are offended, they talk about what people are saying. You ask them, what did you do wrong? And what are you? If you have not repented from that thing, this would not have happened. So he told me, and he said, number two, the second thing he said to me, thank God for people, good people in your life. He said, anything you do when you are offended is often wrong. He said, if you take decision when you're offended, most of the time it's wrong decision. So why didn't you decide to leave this church when the going was good? If you want to leave genuinely, it should be when you are collecting offering, when everything, and you say that God has told you to leave, then we know that yes, of the truth, because everything is okay. But now you are saying you want to leave when the going gets tough. No, it can't be God. So he told me, go and apologize. Oh, yes. I said, oh, yes. And said, be honest. when you go back. You see, one of the things that also makes the devil take advantage of offense is that most people are not honest with what they are saying. So the devil says, because you see, in that instant of a truth, I could have followed them that day. You know, but I just decided that because I was a big shot, very rich person in the church. A church that I bought over 150 chairs, I bought saxophone and I bought keyboard, I bought drum set, I bought fan in one day for them. Do you see what is happening to me now? I was a big shot. And when I did my tithe, the shot should shake. That thing entered into me and I felt uncontrollable. But thank God for pastors who don't worship money. Oh yes. I would not have been here today. Thank God for those who will look at you eyeball. May you never lack the voice of correction in your life. Thank God. Looking back, I realized that I was actually full of myself because of what I was doing for that church. Oh yes. I bought keyboard. I bought drum set. I bought over 150 chairs in one day. So now, why can't I have some special privilege? You see, the deception is that you think God needs you because of what you are doing. It is out of multitude He has decided to choose you. Without you, the work will continue. Get it right. No man, including me, is big enough to stop the work of God. No man. So the deception that, oh, if I'm not there, like that man said, that when I leave, Bonke is finished. Rather, Bonke went from South Africa to become a global evangelist. The man did not pass South Africa. John Ngidi is his name. When I leave, Bonke is finished. Who are you? Whatever you are doing in your church, for your church, for your man of God, know that God has just given you a privilege. A privilege to do it. Without you, the day you leave, and because that God's work must continue, you'll be so surprised that somebody else will just be there. Our replacement is always been there. Even me, you see, when you are playing in the field, that you may not know, first 11, there are some people who are there. Last World Cup, Ronaldo was benched for the first time. And the guy that replaced could not score. A old Ronaldo, Super Ronaldo, CR7 or CR20. When he's just saying, bah! Oh, those of you who watched the last World Cup, am I not right? For the first time, they replaced him and his replacement scored. That guy has always been there. They call you CR7, but there is CR7.5. Just waiting for you to be full of yourself. Oh, yes, you want to clap, clap. 7.5. So I went back. I thank God for the grace to go back. You see, what most people don't have when they misbehave is the grace to go back. Your father will not come and meet you. You will rather stay long. The prodigal son's father stayed where he was. If you are a son, you will be the one to go back to your father's house. Oh yes, that's why you are a son. Be afraid if your father comes to you. Oh, be afraid. Be very afraid. The rule is, I will arise and go back to my father. Not that my father will come. Nobody cares for me. Nobody is coming to look for me. Nobody is done. It's because you are the father of the place. If you are the father, you are the one that will arise and go back to your father's house. I'm not going to go back. Give the money. Oh, yeah. Oh, is that what you just said? Who said that? I said, who said that? Is the person here? The prodigal son was wise. When the bad pastor told me to go back, it was one of the hardest things. You come and see, should I? But you see, going back, those steps you take is called the steps of humility. And the Bible said that God gives grace to the humble, but resists the proud. It is not every time you say sorry because you are wrong. You say sorry to embrace the spirit of humility. Yes. Sorry is a word that helps you become humble. Your husband is so angry. You say, one woman said that, if he will not come and beg me, I will not go back. So the children were even begging her, don't leave, mommy. Say, your daddy, I'm leaving. The children begged their mother, mommy, please don't leave. She left. And the children, the man was saying it, the children faced their daddy. Said, daddy, we begged mommy and she left. If you go and beg our mommy, we will disown you. Daddy, don't beg mommy. Daddy, go and marry again. Did you know I'm there? So about 3 or 4 years later, she waited in her father's and mother's house, not knowing that even her own children had turned against her. So the man decided to remarry. A day before the wedding, this woman is an evangelist now in Ghana. She showed up on the door. She showed up. When she knocked, guess who opened? The children. One of the children. And when she said, it was as though they knew their mother would come. Then the other children called, mommy, what are you looking for here? Oh, am I not your mother? Didn't you suck my breasts? Did you do this? Am I not the one? I want to come and say, I'm sorry to your daddy. I'm sorry. There is a time to say sorry. There is a time that your sorry will be too late. Oh, yes. Oh, I think the people are not happy. That's why they are not putting on the AC. We will preach without AC. Yes. Okay, they've heard my voice now. So why am I sweating? The AC is on. Why am I sweating? They turned the AC on the stage. Who is offended that I'm preaching this one? Hey. Oh. Hey. You see me sweating like this and you have refused to just... And the children said, tomorrow is daddy's wedding. Me, I'm the best man. Then he mentioned, he said, she is the best, to one of the brightest maid to the new wife. Mommy, you can't come and destroy that this good day. The children fought their mother at the door. She's preaching about it now. She said she left. She left. And the man got married the next day. That's how she lost her marriage. Because she was too proud to say, sorry, I've made a mistake. Yes, you can overreact because of offense, but quickly retrace your step back. See. So the prodigal son was wise. Said, I will arise. He realized that he has no business being in this condition where somebody else is taking his shoes, socks, phone. Even, is this the guy's offering today? Should I give the offering on your behalf? Hey. So stand. You move. The day he said, I will arise and go back to my father's house. Go and read your Bible. Look, I think Luke 15 or 16. As he got back, the father realized his son is wise. That same day, not the next day, the Bible says that when the covering came back, then the father said, hey! Bring the shoe! The demon that has been holding him shoeless heard the words of the father. And that day, shoe came back. Oh, bring, you know, what kind of demon are you? Bring the shoe! Then the back father said, give him everything he has lost, including the shoe. So demons began to obey. Demons began to obey. They obeyed everything. Wow. Oh, look at him. Never joke with the spiritual covering. Oh, yes. I said, oh, yes. Never joke. See, what are the demons obeying? The voice of the Father. I'm reading this. Jesus said the story himself. Everything he lost. Whatever the devil has stolen from you, today I declare, let them be restored back. Yes. Oh, yes. Let them be restored back. Oh, you shall see, practically they shall be restored back. One girl said to his father, to her father, I disown you. I disown you. And the foolish husband she married also agreed with her to disown her father. So they went to go and... The pastor was the one saying this. That's why when anybody wants to marry and their parents said, no, I will never marry anybody against their wish of their parents. It's very dangerous. Only a foolish pastor would do that. So the pastor said he made a mistake. So when the guest disowned the father and walked away, then he came to the church. So the pastor married them. He said, after they came from the honeymoon, honeymoon sex, from that week or near week or something, she developed a strange sickness. And she remained bedridden. In less than a year, she died. When the father began to, the pastor said, when the pastor inquired in the spirit, because there is a spiritual dimension to things, he realized that the mistake she made was the day she opened her mouth to say, to walk away from my father. I disown my father. Disown. You can't disown your father, because you can only disown what you own. Oh yes. Oh yes. Watch out for those who have been praying for you. You can never tell the sacrifice of a pastor. One time my wife gave me a food to eat. I was about to eat the food. In the morning, she had prepared the food. As I got to my place to open the food, then the Lord said, you are not eating till tomorrow. That day, I prayed maybe from around 10 o'clock in the night till after 6 in the morning. And I was praying for people. That's why he said, you don't know the sacrifice. So when the devil then wants you to rise up to say, fight, those hidden sacrifices will fight against the person. That's why people don't. The prodigal son never knew what was fighting him. Because the father who had taken care of you, send you to school, do all, is the one where the mother was selling beer. I said, Mommy, you know, you can't be selling here. You know, I can't bring my friends to you. I said, but my friends, my mother said, but this is the reason I used to send you to school. And everything like that. It's not that you have given me another business to start. Now today you are telling me that, you know, I look like a local woman, that you can't bring your friends here over this same business that I sent you to school and brought you back. Out of anger, the mother looked and said, you will sell beans. Hey. Oh yes, I'm telling you the truth. He said, you will sell beans. You will sell beans. She thought it was a joke. No company employed her. The only business she started that worked was beans. Oh yes. I was preaching one day in a certain place, and I was speaking about this, that if the devil has turned you against your father, then the Lord gave me word, go back to meet him today. Buy something, buy fruits, and take to your father and let him pray for you. So that I didn't know there was one guy there. He's in Canada now. The last time I checked, about some weeks ago. After the service, he traveled back. He was in Ogun State. He traveled back to Osun State. And I said, when he got to the bus stop of their house, he had no money. So he bought oranges, bought banana, bought something. And he went. Because he's been fighting his father. He was angry with his father. So he went. When he went, he said, when he brought the fruit to his daddy, he said, daddy, please, whatever I've done, please forgive me. And the father called him, Funsho. Daddy, I bought this for you. Funsho, you mean you bought this for me? And you, who told you to do this? Funsho. So the father grabbed him, prayed for him. I'm telling you, I was the one that ministered to him. He's still my person. He's still my friend. Then the father entered the room. Said, wait, I'm coming. Then the father brought some documents. He was still a student. He was in 300 level or so then. The father brought some documents, brought some things. He said, you have no business being poor. Say, this, I have brought about 10 acres of property for you in this place. It's yours. The father has brought things for him. But you see, in order to make him poor, the devil gave him a reason to fight his father. He said, that day he came back and was sharing the testimony where I was. He said, sir, I am rich. See, he had property. Whatever the devil wants to use to uproot you from your inheritance, to uproot you from the blessing that God has placed upon your heart, today God is bringing you out. I said, God is bringing you out. You are escaping it in the name of Jesus.
The prodigal son. Come back, family. Come back. Wow. Wow. Bring it back.
Beautiful wife.
Beautiful daughter. Now, it has come again. But you see, the only thing that can take away, major thing that takes away is what? Offense. I pray every root of bitterness, unforgiveness, dissentments, every root of unforgiveness and offense that the devil has sown, every seed of offense that is aimed at taking away the covering of God from your life, today let them be uprooted in the name of Jesus. Stand to your feet with me this morning. Let us pray. Thank you, guys. Father, you will never be a demon. You will never be a demon. You will never be a demon. You will never backslide. The covering of God will not leave you. Hey, my dear, come. Your father will never backslide. May the blessing of the Lord be upon you. Lift your hand and pray concerning yourself. Pray concerning your life this morning. Oh, pray for God to heal your heart today. Pray for God to heal your heart today. Pray for yourself. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
I want you to pray with Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. Hebrews 12, 15. Pray about it. Hebrews 12, 15. There is somebody here, you have an uncle. You have an uncle. When I looked at this direction precisely, I'm not saying it cannot be applicable to all, but this direction. There's an uncle that you are bitter against. I heard the word uncle. Uncle. You felt that they did not do the right thing for your family. You felt slighted by their actions. So today you have disassociated yourself from your uncles. Listen to me. Your uncle is your substitute father. As you leave there today, go and honor them. Honor your uncle. I just hear substitute father. Honor your uncle. I believe when I heard that word, you see, I didn't talk about father. Uncles. Uncles. You are bitter against your uncle. Yes. I know more than one person is here. Hebrews 12, 15. Looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God. What is it that is making the grace of God fail in the life of a man? He said, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. I want you to pray against every root of bitterness in your life. Say, Father, every form of bitterness that has found its way into my heart, by the blood of Jesus, purge me, Lord. Purge me, Lord. Purify me, Lord. In the name of Jesus, lift your voice and pray for yourself. Pray for yourself. Bitterness. Bitterness. Every root of bitterness. Pray against the root of bitterness. Pray against every root of bitterness troubling your life. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Now, before I pray for you, I want to restore the covering of God over your life. Today, you are not born again. You need the covering of Jesus. He said, yea, do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death? I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. The devil wants to harass you. That is why he doesn't want you to come to Jesus. Maybe you used to be a strong Christian, but you have backslidden. You used to serve, but now you have withheld your hand because of offense. You withheld your gifts. There is somebody like that. Or you have never been born again before. You have never publicly accepted Jesus into your life as your Lord and Savior. Today I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. I know you are here. You want to be born again. Or you want to rededicate your life to Jesus. If you, all eyes bow and all eyes closed, I want to pray for you. If you are the one, just lift up your right hand. God bless you. Want to give your life to Jesus? God bless you. I see your hand. Now place that hand on your chest. If you are taking that decision, you want to give your life to Jesus, just place your right hand on your chest. You want to rededicate your life to Jesus, place your right hand on your chest. Place your right hand on your chest and say these words after me. Say, dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for giving me the opportunity to be born again, to rededicate my life to you. Lord Jesus, I open the door of my heart to you. Please come into my life and be my Lord and my personal Savior. Wash away all my sins with your precious blood. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on my soul. Cleanse me. Purify me. Save me. I receive your mercy and your forgiveness today. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, if you pray that prayer from the depth of your heart, just come here. I want to pray for you. Come very quick. Take a step of faith and quickly come. You pray that prayer from the depth of your heart. You place your hand on your chest and prayed it. Come. Today is your day. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Wherever you are, come. Today is your day. You are rededicating your life to Jesus. Where are you? Come. You gave your life to Jesus. Come. God bless you. Come. I'm waiting. There is still somebody you are thinking, should I go? Should I? But you prayed it. I'm waiting for you. Come quickly. You are the one. Come quickly. Take that step of it. Come. Why? Don't be ashamed. Don't be shy at all. Come. God bless you. Thank you, Lord. Come. Come. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your mercy. Today is a new day. As you are rededicating your life, giving your life to Him, is a new beginning for you. It's a step of faith you are taking. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. A new beginning has come. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I tell you, the Spirit of God is here. The Spirit of God is here. Now I'm going to lay my hands on you and pray for you. Do you know what has just happened? You took the step of faith. So Jesus said, if you will confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father. The word confess there, the Greek word is homologio. It means to say the same thing that Jesus is saying, or to say the same thing as others, I mean. Today you have come publicly to declare your love, your rededication for Jesus. Lift your hands. I want to pray for you. Father, I pray for your children. You give grace to the humble. You give grace to the humble. Holy Spirit, every hand of the wicked upon the life of these ones,
I command it to wither now in the name of Jesus. Whatever the enemy has stolen from you, destroyed or robbed you of, today I declare over your life in the name of Jesus, let there be restoration.
Amen.
Let there be restoration.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Now, Lord, he who God has blessed is blessed indeed. I declare that these ones from today, they are blessed.
Amen.
Now let the door of opportunities be open to you.
Amen.
Receive grace to serve God.
Amen.
Receive grace to walk in the will of God.
Amen.
Thank you, Father God. In Jesus' name, I have prayed.
Amen.
Shout it louder, amen.
Amen.
Thank you for tuning in on this episode. We hope you've been blessed and empowered to transcend new heights of faith and growth. Stay connected with us for more empowering and faith-filled messages. And remember, you are part of a community committed to transformation. Until next time, go forth empowered by God's grace.